today what I'd like to do is I would like to look at three very specific trades that you and I get to make. And they're trades that come at Jesus' invitation. And they're all about the life, the robust Christian life we might get to live with Him. And this life would include things like a deeper love for God, a deeper love for others, a deeper love for His church. And as we talked about a few moments ago, a deeper love for those who don't know Jesus. And part of this life that He offers us would be the ideas of discipleship, becoming like Jesus so that we could do what Jesus does, which is all part of a kingdom focus for you and me, so that we would have a direction as we live our lives. Now, you need to keep in mind, I said this last week, and I'm not going to assume you were all here last week, but all of these realities that Jesus makes possible don't just happen. They are the fruit of choices, or as I've been talking about, making trades, this for that. But first, before we do that, I need to talk about some fine print. In any contract, there's always fine print. Anybody ever sign a contract that didn't have fine print? Okay, so this thing with God, fine print, and there's two pieces of it. The first is that the gift that God offers us is totally free. He enlivens us when we trust that in what Jesus says He did for us. And that's fine print, but it's also a big bold print. It's free and it works. But there's this other part, the personal realization of what He does inside us to enliven us. That, my friend, is the fruit of all of the choices or all of the trades that we make as we follow Jesus day by day. So though what He offers us is free and it's totally there, it's a package deal, we will spend the rest of our lives trading pieces of our lives away so that we can realize everything that He's given to us. And I said it's fine print because we don't sell that well when we're talking to people about Jesus. We normally talk about you're going to burn in hell and you need help and God's got this really cool place for you. And we forget the pieces in between. And so, as we think about this, these trades, there's some sometimes. Sometimes trading is a matter of setting something down or setting something aside. Thank you, Kevin, for the huge object lesson of doing that today. All of these big things for this little box. Now, sometimes we give up watching TV so we have more time to read the Bible. And sometimes we give up sleeping in on Sunday morning so that we can be more active with our church. And I know our service is late enough, you can still sleep in and still be here. Sometimes we give up the big football game so that we can volunteer to serve lunch at the shelter. And sometimes we'll even give up a week of vacation play to go and help a missionary with a project. Now, sometimes this trading is a matter of our mind or our heart. It's dismissing a lie and embracing a truth. It's our mind. It's recognizing a truth and then choosing to live by that truth. I know a lot of truths that I don't do real well with. Like potato chips are not healthy for you. They'd be bagged and still affirming. But it's actually acting on that truth. It's meeting Jesus as Savior or Lord and actually accepting Him. Heart issue. And sometimes these trades involve a change of direction. We're going this way and we make a trade and we have to go this way. It could be a shifting of our life goals or our life purpose, how we think about what we're going to be doing. For instance, I was a problem when I was much, much younger. I was that sick until I ran into Jesus. And then I became something other. Not all at once, but I did become something other. And early in my schooling, as I left high school, I went to train to become an accountant. I actually went off to a business college so that I could learn to be a CPA. And people who know me well can't imagine me with a calculator and a cubicle. And then I got saved. I met Jesus as Savior. And I switched schools. I went to school to study to become a pastor. to learn the skill set that went with the gifts and graces people said I was already showing. And then I sort of changed my mind. I don't know whether I got cold feet or whether I just had some lame excuses, but it didn't work because God was messing with me. He wouldn't let me be content. He wouldn't let me be satisfied or happy in any way until I decided to focus on going forward toward ministry. But I actually had to start moving in that direction before He blessed in any way. And so sometimes the trade is moving in different directions. Now, some trades are once and done. For instance, meeting and embracing Jesus as Savior, that's a one-time deal. You don't have to repeat that, because He saves thoroughly. But surrendering to His Lordship, becoming like Him, oh my goodness, that's a gazillion little changes and trades we have to make, and we will continue to make those until we see Him eye to eye. But the goal is to become a trader for Jesus. Now, the first trade that you and I get to make is in the beginning when we begin to encounter Jesus. We're lost. We're not found. We're heading in the wrong direction, and somehow, someone, something grabs our attention, and we begin to think about Jesus. And in that first encounter with Jesus, the trade revolves around our mind and our heart and our soul. Who will we choose? We've already chosen me. Will we continue to choose me, or will we choose Jesus? That's the trade. Trading, clinging to me and my goals, or starting to cling to Jesus and His goals. Listen to some of Jesus' words in John chapter 3. In verse 3, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Now, this is not simply about heaven. This is about trading away our lives for His life. This is about being other than what we were alone. If there is no conversion, no trade, we remain outside of God's kingdom and outside of the life that He has to offer. Two verses down in verse 5, we read Jesus again speaking, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit." Kingdom people are twice born. You like twice baked potatoes? God likes twice born people. Born of water, that's our physical birth. We have natural parents. And then we're born of Spirit. And this is a spiritual. It's by Jesus' blood we are born of God. And then words that are following, a few verses down in verse 15. You know these words. Say them with me. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish." Yeah. Here is where the Scriptures explain to us that we trade our sinful roots, our personal sins, for new life and the promise of heaven. Now, this new life and the promise of heaven is life with Jesus here and now, and life with Jesus then and there and forever. Now, the first choice that we get to make, this first trade, sets a trajectory for our lives. We get to say no to the world and yes to Jesus, whereas probably before we were saying yes to the world, and some of us were really young when we did it, and we were really wicked, but we were still broken and damaged on the inside. And Jesus begins to repair that. Now, this morning, you might be sitting there thinking, duh, we're in church. We've done that. And maybe you have. And maybe you know Jesus. Maybe you know Jesus as Savior. Maybe you know Him as Lord. But I'm a little bit old-fashioned. I ask. And so this morning, I'm asking you, have you made that trade? Is Jesus your Savior? You see, if you haven't made the trade, you're still dead. You are still destined for life without Him forever. But I ask you this morning, have you thought about Jesus as the rescue of your life? The giver of your life, all that fine print, blown up and enlarged for you. It's mine. It's all mine. It's a gift. It's a gift that I'll continue to unpack all my life. Let me pray for you. Because you might be seated here this morning and not know. Jesus, we recognize that this trade is where it all begins. We begin to move away from our life and towards your life. And I pray for that person or persons this morning in this room who have yet to make that train. And I pray that they would talk with you this morning and that they would tell you, I need you. And then, Lord, I pray that you would prompt them to do this other amazing thing. Tell somebody before they leave before. God bless these individuals, I pray. Amen. There is a second trait. And it follows after knowing Jesus as Savior. And it might happen relatively quickly, or we might wait for a little bit. But it comes and it involves the directions our lives will take with Jesus. Because there is no one way to walk with Jesus. Some of us walk toward the pulpit. Some of us walk toward the mission field. Some of us have walked toward functioning in the church. And some of us are still wandering around with Jesus trying to figure out, what do you want me to do, Jesus? And every one of us gets to make this trade. And we see this trade in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The Apostle Paul here calls us to become other than what we were, other than what the world has to offer. And this decision becomes transforming as it follows on the heels of our conversion, of our meeting Jesus Savior. And it sets the foundation for many later choices, many later trades. Paul calls us to trade our self-interest for God's perspective and God's purposes. Paul calls us to trade being in control and calling all the shots for our own lives for following Jesus and letting him call the shots. And Paul calls us to trade being like the crowd for being something other, even standing out in the crowd. But we're not alone. You see, when he rescues us in that first trade, he implants within our hearts his spirit. And so we're not alone in any of the trades that we make after that. And further, he has surrounded us with his church, his body. And he's given us the Bible, his words unhidden, so that we can study and learn more about the directions he wants us to go. But, there's always a but, we have to make the trade. We have to choose him. We have to choose his way. We have to choose to set me aside. And this is deeper than, it's wider than just new core values, which I talked about last week. And core values are important for us. They're kind of like guardrails or like pylons around us that stuff don't hit us or keeps us restrained. But this is something radically different. When we invite God to transform us, he moves in and he begins to rearrange the furniture. You ever had a house guest that did that? You invite somebody over to stay with you and they move stuff around to make themselves comfortable? It's not comfortable, is it? You get up in the middle of the night and head to the refrigerator for a glass of milk to go with that midnight donut, and you trip over the footstool in the living room that's not where it used to be. That's what God does in our lives. He begins to move the furniture of our heart around. And we start tripping over ourselves. And we realize that in this trade, God has actually set us up to find a new driver, a new thing controlling us, and it's his spirit. And we are able, in that trade, to become more like Jesus. And this trade involves adapting or adopting a new way of thinking, embracing a new way of doing life because of what we're thinking. And it involves choosing a life for Jesus, not for me. It's choosing to do what pleases God. And there's a third trade. And we get to make this. But this one is different than the other because when we make the trade, we don't usually see the fruit of the trade immediately. Because the fruit needs to grow. Galatian church, Paul explained that when we choose to stop sinning and instead choose to obey God, His Word, His Spirit, we open our lives for Him to develop in us and through us what we call the fruit of the Spirit. And there's a list of these fruit, and it's in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Listen to these fruit that God allows to develop in us when we continue to surrender and to trade our life for His life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And I love the imagery of the fruit of the Spirit. Because in the same way an apple tree, as it sits there planted in the soil, soaking up the nutrients, soaking up the moisture, enjoying the sunlight, fruit happens. I have stood beside, underneath, climbed up inside of a tree, apple tree. I have never heard one going, make fruit, make fruit. It just happens. And in the same way for you and me, as we make praise, trading away our life for His life, trading in His and getting rid of ours, we're not going, make fruit, make fruit. It just happens. He produces the fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not less fruit. It's the Spirit's fruit. All I've done is created myself to be soil or a tree by surrendering, trading for Him to be more in me. And His fruit just happens. Now, the context of this passage where the fruit is listed is so important for us because the passage is toward the end of the chapter. And in the first part of the chapter, Paul addresses our former lives, our sinful life. And there's this huge list of sins. And my guess is there's probably not one person in this room who could go through that list and say, I never did any of those things. And he says that when we trade away the life that we were living that allowed those awful things to be part of our lives, our life is open to producing the fruit of the Spirit. And so we need to catch the context, not just claim the verse. We need to understand that there's trading going on. I'm giving up that which stained me so that I can have what makes me beautiful in His eyes. It's a decision. It's a trade. It's not just, I don't want to burn in hell. It's, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be a valuable part of His kingdom. I want to be worth the air and space I take up. And we trade away the bad stuff, which makes space for Him to move in the good stuff. Isn't that a great idea? And we're all called to this new life, this once enlivened life. And the Spirit begins to influence us. Influences the way we live our lives. He becomes comfortable within us as we become more like Him and His work in Him. We call this discipleship. And you'll hear us talking about that a lot here at Trinity Church because we're not just into teaching stuff. That's education. But we want to teach you how to do things with the stuff that you learn from the scriptures. It's discipleship. And at the end of the day, at the end of the week, at the end of the class, we should be closer to looking like Jesus. But more importantly, we should actually act like Him. Because as we watch what He did, it was His action, it was His love, it was His interest in other people that we will be able to duplicate in our lives that actually attracts other people. But my friends, discipleship is a decision. It's a decision for a trade, or a series of trades, that makes space in my life for more sin in and through us, or through me, or through you. Now, a lot of us are perfectly comfortable getting saved and being in church, but that's not enough, my friends. Jesus calls us to trade our life focus for a greater purpose. He didn't die on the cross so you could own 18 inches of a pew every Sunday morning. He died on the cross and was raised so that we could live radically different lives, actually cross-shaped lives, and help change the world around us. In the end, all of these various things challenge our tendency to complacency. I am comfortable. Don't mess with me, Pastor. But Jesus died to mess with me because he wanted to give us. And he wanted to live in us. And he wants to live through us. And as we make these trades, we'll recognize that they call us out. They call us up. And they call us forward. We are called out of our own lives into a new life with Jesus. And he's calling us up that we might become more, become bigger than we are. And he calls us forward that we would refuse to settle for here and now. An image, maybe, that would help you catch this. Anybody here watch TV? Oh, you do. Okay, well, when you're watching TV, have you ever noticed that everything out in the room is visible? And distracting? Well, that's kind of the lives that we currently live until we surrender more and more of our lives. And then it kind of becomes like an eye mirror where all you can see is the screen. What kind of life would we be living if all we could see was Jesus? An opportunity to love like he did, to serve like he did,